Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6. We have been a couple of weeks in this portion of the scriptures, and we're going to be one more week here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Here we have listed seven things that God hates, and of course we know that God hates all sin, but in particular he names seven of them that are particularly heinous to him. And as we're going to see, they are particularly heinous to him because they go against his very nature, who he intrinsically is. Chapter 6, verse 16, he says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him." We started looking at the one, pride, which is the first one, haughty eyes, but we saw last week that lying hits the list twice. So of seven, two things have to do with lying. It says here, haughty eyes, and then the second thing it says, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. And here's lying again. And a false witness who utters lies. And then finally, and one who spreads strife among brothers. We started talking last time about this whole subject of lying, the sin of lying. And in so many cases, some of these things, not all of them, but a couple of these, especially pride and lying, we kind of write off. We kind of consider them no big deal. Our society, we say, oh, well, you know, lying's not that big of a deal. Everybody does it, which is true. But listen, it doesn't lessen it. Lying makes all of God's big list, Ten Commandments, this list. God, in fact, it makes this list twice. God hates it. We saw last time that this sin in particular, you can't blame all sins on Satan, but this sin in particular did originate with him. Jesus said he is the father of lies. He's the creator of it, and it's been proliferated. This sin has been proliferated through many children, many, as I said last time, many species of lying. There is the out-and-out lie. There's the slander. There's the gossip that passes on slander. There is the half-truth. A half-truth, of course, is a whole lie. I can lie by saying something. I can lie by not saying something and leaving the impression, a wrong impression that this person has. And so there's many, as I said, many species, many offspring from the perspective of lying. And Satan is the father of it. And in our culture, lying is becoming accepted. It's expected, even. There was a phone survey done by a company called Leo Burnett Advertising Agency to ask the question of Americans of what their opinion of lying, in particular, first of all, did they lie, and then what their opinion of lying was, and they found some interesting results. Of the people they called, 90% of them said that they lied quote, on a regular basis. 90% of the people in our culture here in the United States lie. 90% of them lie, as they said, on a regular basis. Why do we not consider lying to be that big of a deal? Because everybody does it. It's popular. Just the way it is. 90% of the people said that they lied. One out of every five said that they could not go through a day without in some way propping up a lie that they had told the previous day or a lie that they had been perpetuating for a long time in their lives. In other words, every day they're living a lie. Every day they're propping up something they said before or something, some impression they left with people before. Every day it's the way they exist. And of the things that people lie the most about, guess what they lie the most about in the United States of America? Their weight. Yeah. Yeah, I know, yeah. And then the second thing they lie about, guess what? Age. No, money. People lie more about money in the United States than they do about their age. The third thing, of course, was age. Guess what the fourth thing was? Their true hair color. Honest to goodness, it's a survey. Their true hair color. So the four biggies that we lie about here in the United States. And that, you know, it doesn't surprise us that people lie about these things. It's very common and even expected in our culture. The surprising thing, though, about this survey, and I would say the disturbing thing about this survey, is the conclusion that they came from it, is that people are no longer upset by lies. In our culture, lying does not bother us anymore. We are not upset when anyone, someone exaggerates, falsifies, fabricates, misrepresents the truth. It doesn't bother us. Partly because everybody's doing it. Partly because we're going downhill as a culture. How do you know when a culture is going downhill? One of the many ways you can test is, where do we stand on the truth? Well, guys, anymore in our culture, we're not standing on the truth. And I want to show you a culture, or give you a story of a culture, of how bad can it get. There was a missionary who tells a story of ministering in this among this primitive tribe somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he was relaying to them for the first time the story of the passion of Christ and the thing that Christ had done in dying for our sins. And he was telling the entire story, and the tribe was following the story pretty well. And they were really feeling touched by the fact that the Son of God would come down and become a man and would do the things that he did for us. And they followed the story until they got to the place of the betrayal, where Judas betrayed Jesus. And then they completely switched on him. They immediately jumped to the end of the story, and they assumed that guess who was the hero? Judas was. You know why? Because in their culture, the most highly esteemed attribute of an individual is being able to trick and dupe their enemy. Jesus ceased to be the hero for them, and Judas became the hero because their culture was so messed up, so backwards. Lying and deception was so intrinsically a part of who they are. Where are we going in America? Guys, if something doesn't happen, that's where we're going. So much so that the gospel, even the truth about God, cannot be told because we in our culture, I mean, you think about it, watch the movies. Who's our heroes? The ones that dupe everybody. The ones that can hide stuff. The spies and the con artists. These are our heroes in our culture. This is where we're going. It's where we're headed. But listen, just because it's popular does not make it right. Does not change, as we said here, God's opinion about the subject of lying. God hates it. God hates it. He hates it in you, and he hates it in me. He does not want to see it. What the Scripture says in Luke 16, verse 15, what's highly esteemed among men is detestable to God. Lying is detestable to him. Just because it's popular in culture, what better chance do we have as Christians now to shine as a bright light when our culture is going downhill? For those who, everybody going that way, the whole culture is going that way and not telling the truth. I have an opportunity to shine. You have an opportunity to shine. Surprise them. Tell the truth. Stand up for what's right. We have an opportunity to really shine, and we really need to take that opportunity because lying destroy stuff. I want to give you three things this morning that lying does to us as if we fall into its trap. First of all, lying, listen, always leads to more lying. There is no such thing as a single lie. No lie can operate on its own. There's just simply no way. If I tell a lie, I have to tell other lies to prop that lie up, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Someone put it this way. He says, lies have no legs. They can't stand by themselves. The only legs that they have are other lies, just like the survey showed. Nobody, one out of five people can't go through a day without propping up some lie that they had told before, some falsification about who they are or what they did or whatever. That's the way lies are. Lies are never by themselves. Sin, in general, is never by itself. I'm just going to do this one thing. I won't do anything else. You know, keep kidding yourself. Doesn't work that way. You commit a sin, you open yourself up for bigger sins. You say a lie, you're going to have to say other lies to keep it up that way. A guy by the name of Austin O'Malley made this statement. He says, those who believe that they can tell a little white lie eventually become colorblind. That's what happens to us. We eventually forget that it ceases to be little anymore, and we start just fabricating everything. And that's what happens. It always has something that goes with it. Lying is never by itself. Someone who lies, listen, has to have a really good memory. Because then you got to remember who you told and what story or version you told to them. And you're going to have to be this massive genius in order to prop up if you're going to live a lie and tell lies. Better, if you're a simple mind like me, tell the truth. You can't remember what you said, but all you got to say is whatever the truth was, that's what I said. Be that way. Be that kind of person. God wants us to be those kind of people. God hates lying. Live in the truth. Living in the truth starts on the inside. So, first of all, lying leads to more lies. Secondly, lying leads to misery. Here's just one of the passages that demonstrates that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Whoever would love life, anybody here? Do you love life? Okay, me too. And see good days. Anybody here want to see good days? Me, I do. Absolutely. As choice of the opposite, yeah. I love life and I want to see good days. Notice what it says. Those people, if that's who you are, now, if you don't want to mess up your life and you want to make a bunch of mistakes and live your whole life with regrets, then don't go by this. But if you don't want that to be true about you, you better listen to what this says. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. It'll mess you up. It'll mess you up. You get a quick fix. I tell a lie and everything is good and smooth for now. But then I wind up paying for it almost forever. I wind up messing up, and because not only that lie, because no lie can stand by itself, I've got to tell other lies, and then it proliferates this mess, this misery in my lives. And the Bible's already told us, don't do it. Because it already tells you what the results are. You will be miserable. You will indeed be miserable. Leads to suspicion. If I lie, I expect everybody else is lying to me too, and so I can't be in a relationship with anybody. And that's what it does. It breaks up relationships. Lying destroys relationships. I mean, if there is no trust in a relationship, guess what you've got? No relationship. All relationships are based on trust. If I don't trust you, we have no relationship. You don't trust me, we have no relationship. We cannot get along. We cannot communicate. We cannot be together. We cannot be friends. We cannot, you know, those things can be true. Relationship is based on trust. And so if I want to be in a relationship, and that's what happens to us. If we're all liars, guess what? We're also all alone. You're by yourself. You're by yourself. You're by yourself. All of you are by yourselves. I'm by myself because nobody trusts anybody anymore. And that's where we're going. All by ourselves. Everybody wants a relationship. Everybody wants to be known. Everybody wants to be accepted for whoever you are. But we're all like that. But listen, if you lie, none of those things are going to be true for you. They just simply can't be because lying separates people. It destroys relationships. There was a woman who asked her husband, she said, why don't you play golf with Ted anymore? He said, would you play with a person who every time you turn your back moves the ball with his foot? She said, well, no, I sure wouldn't. He said, yeah, Ted doesn't either. Of course he doesn't. Nobody likes people like that. Relationships are based on trust. We can't trust each other. We can't be in a relationship with each other. You have to tell the truth. The truth is absolutely essential. Look at this verse. I thought this was very interesting. Really gives a great illustration, at the very least. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, and that gives us the reason why. For we are all members of one body. This, of course, is speaking of the body in particular of Christ, the church. We come to faith in Jesus Christ. We come into a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, because of what Christ did on the cross, the blood that he shed. And now that we're in a relationship with God, if I become a son of God that way and you become a son of God that way, what does that make us? Brothers and sisters in Christ, or brothers in Christ is what it makes us. So now not only are we in a relationship with God, we're also in a relationship with each other. And the scripture says we are now a part of the body of Christ. Now listen, if a body lies to itself, it's got some serious problems, doesn't it? What if your eyes, just speaking about your physical body, what if your eyes lied to your legs about the bump in the road that they saw as the legs were walking down the road? What if they said, you know what, I'm going to show them legs. I'm going to teach them a lesson. They're going to trip over that. They're going to hurt themselves. Well, what happens? The legs trip over the bump, but the eyes go with the body, don't they? So maybe the eyes are the only things that get hurt. See, that's what happens to us. When we lie to each other, you're just hurting yourself. You're just damaging yourself. What if your ears lied to your body as your body crossed the road about the sound of an approaching truck? What if it just says, you know what, I hear that truck, but I'm going to not tell the body? They're going to pay. They're going to get them. How smart is that? It's not very smart. True for the body of Christ, true for the body that we are collectively in a culture, in a community. If all we do here on South Padre Island or Laguna Madre area is lie to ourselves, you know what's going to happen? Among other things, the prices are going to all go up because everybody's got to carry more insurance. Everybody's got to raise prices because everybody's going to steal from them. People lie. And so what happens? Why is the prices continue to skyrocket? Because nobody trusts anybody. You got to have them sign 27 different pieces of paper just to have a transaction. You got to have a lawyer on your side just to deal with simple stuff. Why? Because people lie. It's not just a matter of they could lie. You know they are. And so you've got to pay these exorbitant prices and the exorbitant insurance just simply to exist. And a culture that does that is on the way out. You can be sure. Lying destroys us. It leads to nothing but misery. And the final thing, and maybe the biggest thing that happens when we lie, the ultimate thing is demonstrated here by our text. When we lie, the biggest thing that happens is that it hurts our relationship with God. It hurts our relationship with God. As you see here in the Scriptures, God has a problem with lying. You read the Ten Commandments, one of the big ten, not bear false witness, do not lie, in other words. Why does God have those rules? Are you in favor of those rules, by the way? I'm in favor of the Ten Commandments. I'm in favor of this. I agree. I don't like any of these things. I don't like haughty eyes, except if you point them out in me, then I don't appreciate that. But nonetheless, I hate them. I don't like lying. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm against that. Are you not? I'm against it. A heart that devises wicked plans. I'm voting against that. Feet that run rapidly to evil. False witnesses. Those who spread strife among brothers. I'm against all those things. Are you not? But you know what? Why are we against those things? Because it says that we should be. It's not who we intrinsically are. Because I intrinsically am a sinner, and these are sins. I mean, anybody here never lied? Right, so why are you against lying? You're against lying because you know that's the correct position, but it's not who you intrinsically are. If you've told a lie, you're a liar. So you're arbitrarily choosing these rules. You follow me? You're arbitrarily choosing them because in your heart you know it's the right thing to do, even though you know you're not perfect in that area either. Correct? Listen to me. It's not for the same reason that God chooses these rules. God didn't arbitrarily, he wasn't sitting down and said, you know what, let's make a list of rules. Let's see, what are we going to do? Let's do this. And bingo, he comes out with 10. Well, what do you know? A perfect 10. Throw those in the Scriptures. Let's make all these little peon people follow them. You think that's the way he did things? That's not the reason why he did things. Why is it wrong to lie? People will say, it's wrong to lie because God says don't lie. That's not the right answer. You know the reason why it's wrong to lie? Because it goes against who God intrinsically is. Not just against his rules. If he arbitrarily chose these rules, then I guess he could arbitrarily throw them out, could he not? But if these rules are based upon who he intrinsically is, you must understand he can't throw them out. It's who he is. Why don't we murder? Because it goes against who God intrinsically is. It's not just because he's got a problem with it. I mean, I have a problem with it, but it's not who I intrinsically am. You see, there's a difference. There's a major difference between us and God. We choose these rules because we know that it's right, even though we know we've broken them. God, on the other hand, not only has he never broken them, they are the rules because they are who he intrinsically is. Why does God hate lying? Because, listen, he's intrinsically truth. Follow these Scriptures. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Why? Because this. But when he, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, the essence of who God is, the essence of God is his Spirit, is it not? The Spirit, the essence of God, notice, is what? Truth. His very nature is truth. That's not true about you or me. Now, I like truth, and I don't want to be lied to, but it's not who I intrinsically am. I'm a liar. I've told lies. I'm a sinner. I'm not intrinsically holy, okay? But that's not true about God. God is intrinsically truth. He's intrinsically holy. So that when you break his rules, you're not just breaking his rules, you're committing an affront to his person. That's why he has a problem with it. That's why he does not like it. That's why he hates it. It's not because he set up arbitrary rules and he's ticked off because you're not doing what he says. No, he's ticked off because you're an affront to his person. You're an affront to who he intrinsically is. And it raises, do you see, the bar. The issue here is much bigger than just breaking. If I set rules and you break them, I'm upset with you, okay? But I'm not a perfect rule keeper either. On the other hand, if you break a rule that goes intrinsically against who I am, that's something altogether different. That's why God has a problem with this stuff. Notice Jesus says a similar thing about himself, John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now that's some big words. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say he just knows the way. He doesn't say that he's just in favor of the truth. Notice, that's all I can say. I can say all this, but I have to change the language. I know the way, and I do know the truth. I'm in favor of the truth, and I know that Jesus is the only way to come to God. I know that all those things are true, but I can't say what Jesus said. I can't say that I am the way. That's not true. I can't say that I'm the truth. I'm in favor of the truth, but the truth, listen, I'm a liar, just like everybody else. Jesus, on the other hand, is not like us. I, he says, am the way. I am the truth, he says. And the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Very big words. Very important that we delineate between our position on these things and God's position. He's not like us. He's not like you. When you commit sin, it's an affront to who God is in his very intrinsic being. That's why he's got a problem with it. That's why sinners, listen, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have help. If you've ever sinned, you don't just have a problem with God's rules. You have a problem with the person of God. The very person of God, listen, is opposed to you. That's a problem. That's an eternal problem. And if you don't get help, you're going to be eternally sorry for it. Thus the reason, listen, why Jesus had to die. If it was nothing but arbitrary rules that he just wrote up, then he could arbitrarily waive them and let everybody in. On the other hand, if these rules are based upon who he intrinsically is, then he can never waive the rules, not for anybody. You're not the exception. And anyone who has sin in their life that is not dealt with correctly will not go to his heaven. They will go to hell. And that's a sobering thought, but it is reality. God's not some old man up in heaven with the back door open letting everybody in. No, he's against sin because it's against who he intrinsically is. And so if you are a sinner, you ought to be scared. And I would recommend that because the Scripture does, because it also, it sends you in the right direction. It sends you to the place where you're willing to accept God's one and only remedy, which is what? Bingo! Only through his Son. There is no other way. There is no other way because God is a holy God. How do you take a lying, sinful race and bring them to a holy, truthful God? There is no way. There is no way unless that sin is paid for. You see, you can't arbitrarily wipe them off. You know, don't worry about it. You know what? No big deal. I was kind of mad that day and I wrote up 10 things, but let's just call it off, all right? No. It's his character you're talking about here, who he intrinsically is. So a holy God requires a payment for sin, and since for you to pay for sin will take a forever in hell, and since he also wants to be in a relationship with you, he provided a way by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His blood, listen, is the only payment God is accepting for your sin. And so now that Jesus has died and his blood has been shed, now there is an opportunity, the only opportunity that we have, to be forgiven for all of our sins. And that's for us to place our faith and our trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. He is it. He doesn't just know about the life and know about the way and know about the truth. He is those things intrinsically. And so if you reject him, you're also rejecting those things. And that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good at all. John 14:6, this truth, Jesus says, I am the truth. And it says this in John 8. Then you will know the truth when we come to know him, when you trust him, when you accept him as Savior. Notice the result. Then you will know the truth, and what does it do? The truth will set you free. No other way to be free from your sins. No other way to be free from your lies. No other hope. You are hopeless without Jesus. You're totally, completely hopeless. Every one of us. No exceptions. Because there's a holy God that demands righteousness, and you can't produce it. Neither can I. But his son has produced it for you, and all you got to do is accept it. What a deal, right? What a deal. And it is. It is indeed a deal. God is looking. God is himself truth. And so bad news for us liars, isn't it? Good news in that the truth himself has died to pay for your sins. And that for whoever accepts him, whoever receives him, to them, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, the right to eternal life, the right to heaven. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Here we are on the eve of Holy Week, beginning Easter next Sunday. And what a beautiful way to understand things. We have to be right with God. You have to. Well, I don't need God in my life. Well, you can say that for now, friend. You can say it for now, but eternity is a real long time. In fact, time isn't even relative. And you're going to have a long time to think about the fact that you had an opportunity to accept him and you didn't. Jesus Christ, right? The only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And I just want to simply ask you this question. Have you ever accepted what Christ did on the cross, his blood? Have you ever accepted that as payment for your sin? You need someone to pay for it. We're dealing with a holy, righteous, truthful God. And you, lying sinner, you need him. Have you ever accepted Christ as the only way? I want to give you an opportunity right now to do it. It's just a simple matter of faith. The scripture says to whoever believes, whoever receives him. How do you receive Jesus? You can do it through a simple prayer to say, Jesus, I accept you. I accept you as the only way. I accept you as the only life. I accept what you did on the cross as the only payment for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to save me. He'll do all those things. Simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the truth, that your Son is the truth, that your Spirit, the essence of who you are, to the very core of who you are truth. And Lord, we sit in a sea of lies. We sit in the midst of a community and a society that's based upon lies in many respects. Heavenly Father, we need to be rescued. We need to be saved. We need to be pulled out and delivered from not only our society, but who we are intrinsically. Lord God, I thank you that it's not just some rules that we're here to follow. No, it's who you are personally. And that you so desperately want to be in a relationship with us that you sent your Son Jesus to pay for that sin, to ensure the single way that we could come to you. And I thank you that as many as come to you through your Son, they are rescued forever. Thank you for forgiving us. I pray, Lord, that as you search us, that you would produce truth in our lives, or that we would stand out like lights in a very dark world. As we stand up for the truth, as we don't put up with half-truths, as we tell the whole story, as we don't leave false information, as we do what's right, not for any other reason other than ultimately we want to be in a relationship with you. We want to be right with you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your patience. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.